大家好，这里是北京外语广播正在播出的大学生英语在线 Question of the Day， 我是 Larry， 欢迎大家加入我们的 QQ 群，群号码是90127292，欢迎您的加入。我们呢今天到了周末，要讲的是 TED TED Talk， 我们请来的专家老师是来自优益爱学校的壮壮老师。老师好。
Hello Larry and hello everybody。 今天我们带来的这一个讲话是关于 consumers、也就是消费人群。好，那讲话的人呢叫 Joseph Pine。 Joseph Pine is a writer and also a veteran consultant to entrepreneurs and executives alike, and his books and workshops help businesses create what modern consumers really want, authentic experiences。 这个人呢其实他擅长的是什么东西呢，就是现代的消费者他们到底想要的是什么。他会做一个像咨询公司似的写书啊，举办这个工作坊来让这个企业找到方向。 Customers want to feel what they buy is authentic。 authentic 这个词我们在托福的听力中也遇到过，就是 original 啊，正宗的啊，原版的。他想这个消费者要买的东西它一定是正版，是吧，不能买水货啊，他得买一个真正的东西。 But mass customization author Joseph Pine says selling authenticity is tough because, well, there's no such a thing. He talks about a few experiences that may be artificial but make millions anyway。好，然后他说根本就做不到，就是这种大规模的定制，是吧，现在谁做东西谁还手工，比如说我手工啊做一双鞋，这个世界上对这双鞋呢就独一无二，这种有但是少见了，因为工业化生产都是批量的，对吧，我做一个东西我限量版我也可能就是得有那么一二十件这样的衣服。所以呢他觉得现代人呢基本上在购物的时候不能满足自己想要原版唯一版本这样的愿望。然后他讲了一些经历，这些经历呢可能是杜撰的人为的，但是呢可以赚很多的钱啊，我们来听听看。
When you put business people together with consumers, what you get is an economy.And to talk about the economy, I'm going to talk about a very fundamental change that is going on in the very fabric of the modern economy. And to talk about that, I'm going to go back to the beginning. Because in the beginning were commodities. Commodities are things that you grow in the ground, raise in the ground, or pull out of the ground. Basically, animal, mineral, vegetable. And then you extract them out of the ground and sell them on the open marketplace. Commodities were the basis of the agrarian economy that lasted for millennia.But then along came the Industrial Revolution. And then goods became the predominant economic offering, where we use commodities as a raw material to be able to make or manufacture goods. So we moved from an agrarian economy to an industrial economy. But what then happened over the last 50 or 60 years is that goods have become commoditized. Commoditized where they're treated like a commodity, where people don't care who makes them. They just care about three things and three things only. Price, price, and price.Now there's an antidote to commoditization, and that is customization. And how I discovered this progression of economic value was realizing that customizing a good automatically turned into a service. Because it was done just for a particular person, because it wasn't inventoried, it was delivered on demand to that individual person. So we moved from an industrial economy to a service-based economy. But over the past 10 or 20 years, what's happened is that services are being commoditized as well.Long-distance telephone service sold on price, price, price. Fast food restaurants with other value pricing. And even the internet is commoditizing not just goods, but services as well. What that means is that it's time to move to a new level of economic value. Time to go beyond the goods and the services. And using the same heuristic, what happens when you customize a service? What happens when you design a service that is so appropriate for a particular person? That's exactly what they need at this moment in time.Then you can't help but make them go wow. You can't help but turn it into a memorable event. You can't help but turn it into an experience. So we're shifting to an experience economy where experiences are becoming the predominant economic offering. Now, most places that I talk to, when I talk about experience, I talk about Disney. right? The world's premier experience stager. I talk about theme restaurants and experiential retail and boutique hotels in Las Vegas, the experience capital of the world. Now, over the last several years, I've spent a lot of time in Europe, and particularly in the Netherlands. And whenever I talk about the experience economy there, I'm always greeted at the end with one particular question, almost invariably. And the question isn't really so much a question as an accusation. And the Dutch, when they usually put it, it always starts with the same two words. You know the words I mean? You Americans. I say, you Americans, you like your fantasy environments, your fake, your Disneyland experiences. They say, we Dutch, we like real, natural, authentic experiences. So much so as that happened is that I developed a fairly practiced response, which is, I point out that, first of all, you have to understand that there is no such thing as an inauthentic experience. Why? Because the experience happens inside of us. It's our reaction to the events that are staged in front of us. So as long as we are in any sense authentic human beings, then every experience we have is authentic. Now, there may be more or less natural or artificial stimuli for the experience, but even that is a matter of degree, not kind. And there's no such thing as 100% natural experience. Even if you go for a walk in the proverbial woods, there is a company that manufactured the car that delivered you to the edge of the woods. There's a company that manufactured the shoes that you have to protect yourself from the ground of the woods. There's a company that provides a cell phone service you have in case you get lost in the woods. Right? All of those are man-made artificiality brought into the woods by you and by the very nature of being there. And then I always finish off by talking about the thing that amazes me the most about this question, particularly coming from the Dutch, is that the Netherlands is every bit as manufactured as Disneyland. And the Dutch, they always go, and they realize I'm right. There isn't a square meter of ground in the entire country that hasn't been reclaimed from the sea or otherwise moved, modified, and manicured to look as if it had always been there. It's the only place you ever go for a walk in the woods and all the trees are lined up in rows. But nonetheless, not just the Dutch, but everyone has this desire for the authentic. And authenticity is therefore becoming the new consumer sensibility, the buying criteria by which consumers are choosing who they're going to buy from and what they are going to buy, becoming the basis of the economy. In fact, you can look at how each of these economies develop, that each one has their own business imperative matched with the consumer sensibility. With the agrarian economy, we're supplying commodities. It's about supplying availability, getting the commodities to market. With the industrial economy, it is about controlling costs, getting the costs down as low as possible so we can offer them to the masses. With the service economy, it is about improving quality. That has the whole quality movement has risen with the service economy over the past 20 or 30 years. And now, with the experience economy, it's about rendering authenticity. Rendering authenticity. And that's the key word, is rendering. Right, rendering, because you have to get your consumers, as business people, to perceive your offerings as authentic. Because there is a basic paradox. No one can have an inauthentic experience, but no business can supply one. Because all businesses are man-made objects. All business is involved with money. All business is a matter of using machinery. And all those things make something inauthentic. So how do you render authenticity is the question. Right? Rendering authenticity. When you think about that, let me go back to what Lionel Trilling and his seminal book on authenticity, Sincerity and Authenticity, came out in 1960, points to as the seminal point at which authenticity entered the lexicon, if you will. And that is, to no surprise, in Shakespeare and in his play Hamlet. And there's one point in his play Hamlet where the most fake of all the characters in Hamlet, Polonius, says something profoundly real. At the end of a laundry list of advice he's giving to his son Laertes, he says this, "And this above all, to thine own self be true. And it doth follow as night to day, that thou canst not then be false to any man." And those three verses are the core of authenticity. There are two dimensions to authenticity. One, being true to yourself, which is very self-directed. Two is other-directed, being what you say you are to others. And I don't know about you, but whenever I counter two dimensions, I immediately go, ah, two by two. Right? Anybody else like that? No? Well, if you think about that, you do in fact get a 2x2, where on one dimension, it's a matter of being true to yourself. As businesses, are the economic offerings you are providing, are they true to themselves? And the other dimension is, are they what they say they are to others? If not, you have is not true to itself and is not what it says it is, right? Yielding a 2x2 matrix. And of course, if you are both true to yourself and are what you say you are, then you're real. The opposite, of course, is fake. Right now, there is value for fake. There will always be companies around to supply the fake because there will always be desire for the fake. In fact, there's a general rule. If you don't like it, it's fake. If you do like it, it's faux. Now, the other two sides of the coin are being a real fake, is what it says it is but is not true to itself, or being a fake real, is true to itself but not what it says it is. You can think about those two contrasts. You know, both of these are better than being fake, not quite as good as being real. You can contrast them by thinking about Universal City Walk versus Disney World, right, or Disneyland. Universal City Walk is a real fake. In fact, we got this very term from Ada Louise Huxtable's book, The Unreal America. Wonderful book, where she talks about Universal City Walk as, you know, she decries the fake, but she says at least that's a real fake, right? Because you can see behind the facade. Right? It is what it says it is. It's Universal Studio. It's in the city of Los Angeles. You're going to walk a lot. Right? You don't tend to walk a lot in Los Angeles. Well, here's a place where you are going to walk a lot, outside in this city. Right? But is it really true to itself? Right? Is it really in the city? Is it, you can see behind all of it and see what is going on in the facades of it. So she calls it a real fake. Disney World, on the other hand, is a fake real or a fake reality. Right? It's not what it says it is. It's not really the Magic Kingdom. But it is... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... Sorry. We won't talk about Santa Claus then. But Disney World is wonderfully true to itself. Right? Just wonderfully true to itself. When you are there, you are just immersed in this wonderful environment. So it's a fake real. Now, the easiest way to fall down in this and not be real, right? The easiest way not to be true to yourself is not to understand your heritage and thereby repudiate that heritage. Right? The key of being true to yourself is knowing who you are as a business, knowing where your heritage is, what you have done in the past, and what you have done in the past limits what you can do, what you can get away with, essentially, in the future. So you have to understand that past. Think about Disney again. Disney, 10 or 15 years ago, right? The Disney, the company that is probably best known for family values out there, Disney bought the ABC network. ABC network, affectionately known in the trade as the TNA network. Right? That's not too much jargon, is it? Right? The TNA network. Then it bought Miramax, known for its NC-17 fare. And all of a sudden, families everywhere couldn't really trust what they were getting from Disney. It was no longer true to its heritage, no longer true to Walt Disney. That's one of the reasons why they're having such trouble today and why Roy Disney is out to get Michael Eisner, because it is no longer true to itself. So understand what your past limits what you can do in the future. When it comes to being what you say you are, the easiest mistake the companies make is that they advertise things that they are not. Right? That's when you're perceived as fake, as a phony company, advertising things that you're not. Think about any hotel, any airline, any hospital. Right? If you could check into the ads, you'd have a great experience. But unfortunately, you have to experience the actual hotel, airline, and hospital, and then you have that disconnect. Then you have that perception that you are phony. So the number one thing to do when it comes to being what you say you are is to provide places for people to experience who you are. For people to experience who you are. Right? It's not advertising, does it? That's why you have companies like Starbucks, right, that doesn't advertise at all. They said, you want to know who we are, you have to come experience us. And think about the economic value they have provided by that experience. Right? Coffee at its core is what? Right? It's beans. Right? It's coffee beans. You know how much coffee is worth? when treated as a commodity, as a bean, 2 or 3 cents per cup. That's what coffee is worth. But grind it, roast it, package it, put it on a grocery store shelf, and now it'll cost 5, 10, 15 cents when you treat it as a good. Take that same good and perform the service of actually brewing it for a customer in a corner diner, a bodega, a kiosk somewhere, you get 50 cents, maybe a buck per cup of coffee. But surround the brewing of that coffee with the ambiance of a Starbucks, with the authentic theater that goes inside of there. And now, because of that authentic experience, you can charge $2, $3, $4, $5 for a cup of coffee. So authenticity is becoming the new consumer sensibility. Let me summarize it for the business people in the audience with three basic rules. One, don't say you're authentic unless you really are authentic. Two, it's easier to be authentic if you don't say you're authentic. And three, if you say you're authentic, you better be authentic. And then for the consumers, for everyone else in the audience, let me simply summarize it by saying, increasingly, what will make us happy is spending our time and our money satisfying the desire for authenticity. Thank you.
好的，很快这段录音就听完了。
嗯，说到这个购物，我知道 Larry 男生对于购物和女生是截然不同的看法。
嗯、
那么关于购物呢，在雅思的口语里边也经常有提到，是吧？
嗯。
比如说谈到广告怎样影响人们做购买决策，
嗯、
啊，然后呢，还有你是在线购物和线下购物怎样去比较他们的异同，
对，
等等，还有发展趋势。
对。
那你在购物的时候，我知道你是做这个科技记者出身，对不对？
对对对，嗯。
那你购物的通常是怎样的购法
？E-shopping, online shopping。
哦。
嗯，对于男生来说呢，其实我们不喜欢逛街，因为逛街是一件又费体力又费时间的事儿。
哦。
I prefer online shopping to traditional shopping。
嗯，主要是他能省点体力，省点时间。啊、
对对对。
那你在买的时候，那我举一样东西吧，我觉得你基本上得在线下买啊、
嗯。不一定哦，您说。
带鱼。
带鱼。
你线上买过吗？
可以买。
哦。
现在这个生鲜产品啊，都是就从去年开始，这个中国的生鲜产品啊，都有这个网上购买的方式。
哦，那它怎么保鲜呢？
嗯、它就是冷藏啊，它会带驼冰给你送过来。
哦，还真是这样的、
嗯，真有这样的，嗯。
反正我知道呢，春节前后的时候，当时我有一个朋友给我寄了一箱苹果，寄完了之后，哎，我说我没时间取，然后那个快递公司说，你这个可是苹果呀、啊，可容易烂啊，放在我们的库里边要烂了可不是我们的责任。
嗯。
后来隔了差不多一两天，我那个送苹果的朋友跟我说，说壮姐，我这个苹果也送给过别人，完了就烂了，完了同志们吃了就拉肚子了。所以你说这生鲜产品你要是网上购买就有这个保存的问题，
所以你得看什么厂家什么商店什么那个什么网站了。
哦，
你要是淘宝上随便找一家，那个确实不保险。
嗯，
那你得看是什么网站，有专门做这个生鲜的这个网站，已经做了好几年了，
那行，
那基本上没什么问题，那就没有问题。那么就算你想在淘宝上找一家店来买的话，你要看它的这个评价，看它的这个销量和好评差评，这个是决定你买一个东西它是不是靠谱的一个标准。
大学生英语在线，欢迎您继续收听。
好的，那到了节目最后呢，我们再来解答一些听众的问题啊。问一下壮壮老师，就说这个听力材料有快的有慢的，那慢的呢能听懂但是感觉自己提高不大，那快的呢听不明白听不清楚感觉自己挺灰心的，那么问题就是啊，我们在选择听力材料的时候到底选快的还是选慢的呢？
我觉得这个要遵从循序渐进的原则，你开始的时候你要听慢一点的，等你觉得慢的东西你差不多能听懂了，你就可以选那个快的。那现在这个电脑技术软件都发达了，你要是想听一个快的语速快的节目呢，你也可以用慢速播放，这样它就直接就特别
慢
了。
哦，原来如此。
这个 TED Talk 呢，它有时候它为什么是快呢？因为它这个平时说话就是按照母语说话的人去说，所以呢他们就快。但是呢，它还是一个语言的熟练程度，正常人像他们讲话的那个语速就不会觉得他们慢。就比如说一个英国人在听他们这个 TED 讲话的时候，他不会觉得这个人说话太快。
而且啊 ，TED Talk 它毕竟是一个台上的演讲，演讲者在台上毕竟要表达自己，那么他的这个抑扬起伏啊，还是要比平时说话要更多、更加明显。所以呢，作为一个快的材料，它也更适合我们去听。
对，然后同时你就了解到了正常的语速呢，应该是那样的。可是我也选了一些挺有意思，但在听的过程中就会发觉了哈，有的人多次提到我只有十八分钟去说我要说的事儿，所以有时候他会赶着这十八分钟，如果是慢一点或者正常语速说，他可能能说出二十分钟。那现在为了赶这十八分钟呢，他们就叽里咕噜叽里咕噜叽里咕噜叽里咕噜说特别快，也有这种情况。但是呢，并不因为这个台底下就反应说你说的快了，我们听不懂。只有说，当我们作为这个外国人来听这个英语的时候，才有这种感觉，说明我们的听力还不太到家，有待提高。我觉得是这样，就是大家听虽然快，不要灰心。还是要听，因为你只有去练听力是这样练的。当你积累到一定小时数的时候，你会突然发现你一听明白就明白一大片。
嗯，
不明白的时候真的就是噼里啪啦噼里啪啦，就像天书和噪音一样。
嗯，
可是你要坚持，一定到坚持那个火候之后，你才能发现明白一大片。
很多同学听听力啊，都是会在心里面去翻译一遍，把英文翻译成中文。很多同学啊，听听力的时候啊，经常习惯把这个英文在脑海中或者在心中啊翻译成中文，再进入到脑子里面，告诉自己哦什么什么意思，什么什么意思。其实呢，这样做不太好。
对了，因为你肯定速度就慢了，应该是你听到的时候反映成画面和信息，而不是说反映成另一个语言，再回到一个语言，不是这个过程。
嗯，不然就太麻烦了哈。
对，你的速度没有那么快。
嗯，
明白吗？你是同传，那差不多了。
嗯，
但是同传呢，它那个如果是好的同传也可能有这个信息的损失。
嗯，
啊，所以大家要坚持听，然后呢逐渐的把这个语言节奏、语音语调都给它掌握了。你常听，最起码你在发音和语音语调上你是能够增加自己对它的熟悉感觉，啊，调整你的耳朵。那我们今天的 TED Talk 节目就到此为止，那希望大家呢积极踊跃的听，不要灰心，加油啊！同时呢，也可以在 QQ 群里面去切磋学习心得。我们的 QQ 群号是9012-7292，9012-7292。那么这是我们的第二大群，2000人。好嘞，感谢大家收听，我们下次节目再见。
再见。
Pure. I saw an angel of Adam Shaw. She smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man. But I won't lose no sleep on that, 'cause I've got a plan. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's true.I saw your face in a crowded place, and I don't know what to do, 'cause I'll never be with you. Yes, she called.
机会，你最想得到什么东西？
汽车 ，money，
豪宅，
漂亮女朋友，
芭比娃娃。
健康。
北京人民广播电台提醒您，关爱自己的健康才能带来长久的幸福。
Yeah.